I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. I would like to look at three verses of Scripture today in Proverbs. Proverbs 29, verses 19, 20, and 21. And I've entitled this message from the Scriptures. I'm going to read in just a moment. Delicately brought to Christ. Let's read these three verses. Proverbs 29, verses 19, 21. A servant will not be corrected by words. For though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that's hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. Now, you know, a pleasant, willing, faithful employee is truly a joy to any employer. That's a joy. A landowner that has men under his authority who are trustworthy, dependable. Those who have character, good character, and their motive is doing a good job. That's what they want to do. Boy, that's a desirable employee. If you've ever been in a situation where you've had men working for you, I have. And I'm telling you, there's nothing better than having some men, women, that you can depend on. They're going to do what they say. Say what they mean, and they're honorable, and that you trust them. That's such a good thing. But if there's one whose character is less than desirable, one who's not trustworthy, not faithful, and that the boss can really, truly put no confidence in because he has no interest in his position. There's no desire for him to put forth an honorable effort because he has no heart for obedience. No love or respect for the company, for his boss. No respect for the one that's willing, that's hired him, willing to pay him and treat him fairly, meet his needs. Boy, that's a painful and a distressing situation. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble, it's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Well, considering everything that I've just said, right now, I know what your thoughts are concerning that unfaithful servant, that employee that you can put no real trust in. Get rid of him. Throw him out. Throw him out in the street. Tell him he hadn't appreciated one thing that's ever been done for him. He's worthless. And really, to be honest with you, he'd learn a good lesson for being unthankful. What he needs is a good semester in school of hard knocks. That'll do him some good. We all be right, you know, in thinking that way, I'm sure. But let me ask you this. What if he's one that you love? You love him. You love him. He's unfaithful, but you love him. Brethren, this is the case of every one of God's elect from their fall in Adam. Lord, who has said concerning his people, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I love you. And we come forth from our mother's womb, liars, wrathful children against God, who loves us, loves his people. I realize all men born in Adam are like that. I got that part of it. But I'm going to tell you something. Out of the mass of humanity, there's a people born just like everybody else. But here's one blessed difference. There's a people that God has been pleased to set his affection on and loves them. I want you to turn with me to Genesis 6. Hold your place there in Proverbs. Turn with me to Genesis 6. I want you to just I want your eyes to look upon God's mercy. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, but for the mercy of God. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. Read a few verses here. Isaiah 1, verse 6. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. It's desolate, as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Brethren, while we might be ready to cast the first stone, cut off all who in our own estimation are deserving to be cut off. I get it. Let's remember the pit from which we've all been dug. Let's remember our need of mercy. I want us to consider out of these passages, these three verses out of Proverbs, I want to deal with three little points here. I'm going to try to be very brief. Here's my first point. Man, and especially I'm speaking of God's elect, we're all the same. Here's our problem. Verse 19. A servant. You know, I got to thinking about that servant. You know, all men, all women are going to serve God. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve the Lord either in the demonstration of his justice, or we're going to serve the Lord in the demonstration of his mercy, but we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. But I'm looking at this primarily right now as a picture of God's elect, born in Adam, unregenerate. Here's our problem. This is us now. A servant will not be corrected by words. For though he understand, he will not answer. Now, here's the truth of man's adamant resistance against authority. Just like that employee I was talking about. All of the bad characteristics he got. But he was one that was loved. Here's our problem. Because of being born in Adam, dead in trespasses and sins, man is born resistant. Because he's dead, he's resistant, he manifests, he's not going to be correct. He will not be corrected by God. Man by nature resists God's admonition. He resists his instruction. He resists his discipline. The scripture says this earth manifests the glory of God. Look at this. Look around us. Look at these seasons. Look at the order. Look at the stars. Look at this. But man will not glorify God. He'll not glorify God in the manifestation of God's power in nature. Man will resist every man has got a conscience. We know right from wrong. Scripture bears that out. But man resists even the convicting voice of God's holiness and his justice in man's own conscience. But especially, man resists the hearing of the voice of the great shepherd through the preaching of the gospel of God's grace. This is what the scriptures declare. These are the words of wisdom. Here's our problem. A servant, one left to himself in his spiritual death, will not be corrected by words. Though he understand, he will not answer. Now let me just kind of bring it down to earth here so we all get it, what's being said. The natural man. Now, I know that you're going to be able to understand what I'm saying here. That you'll be in agreement with what I'm saying. The natural man can hear God's word, God's promise of life, eternal, in Christ. If that man comes by the grace of God through faith. That's what you just read, Barry. Faith, without faith. It's impossible to please God. Now, man by nature can hear that. He hears what God has to say. Man can hear the promise of eternal damnation, condemnation, for failing to bow to Christ. He can hear those words preached as plainly as they've ever been preached. He hears them. He can hear them. There's life. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. I will give you rest. Now, what part of that, English, did you not understand? You understood those words. Man by nature hears them. But unless that word is effectually blessed by the Spirit of God, they're going to hear those words. They're going to intelligently understand what's being said, and this scripture bears out that they will pay no attention to it. He won't trouble himself to give an answer. That is, he won't give an answer of a corrected heart. He won't answer, bow. Whenever Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, you know why he was going to Damascus? He had letters of authority in his hand that he'd gotten from those in Jerusalem to go go to Damascus, and any that he found of the way, following after Christ, he was to take them, he was going to take them, bind them, bound, back to Jerusalem. That's what he was going to do. That's where he was going. He was breathing out anger and animosity. I'll get him. And when Almighty God stopped him on the road to Damascus, told Saul, this is who I am. And this is what you're doing. And he said, he answered. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He answered. What would you? The scripture says, a servant will not be corrected by words. For though he understand, he will not answer. I have them in my family. You do too. They understand. And they can give you a good, they can speak as clearly the truth of the gospel as you'd hear it. But they don't have a heart for it. They don't have a heart. The natural man may hear, intelligently understand what's being said, not answer. Now, I want us to look at the danger of being left to ourselves. Now, here's my second point. Here's the danger. I want to look at the danger of one that Almighty God has everlastingly loved in Christ, one that's yet to be called out of darkness. Let me tell you the danger of where they are. These are God's people. They're the sheep. They're not called out of darkness yet. They're still sheep, though. They're still his sheep. Other sheep I have, the Lord said. They're not of this fold. Them I must bring. Were they sheep then? Yeah, they were sheep then. But let me tell you the danger. These sheep, everlastingly loved of God, they're found among the wolves of this world. The wolves that are ready to devour. In a way that is so subtle. Religious deceit. Now here's God's people. I don't know where they are. I don't know where God's people are. They're scattered throughout the world. When he preached on the day of Pentecost, that were, you know, here they are from Cappadocia and Bithynia and Cyprus, and they were here at Cappadocia. They were there all over the world. They all come together. They were there. And we don't know where they are. But they're in this world, scattered. And there's danger. There's danger out there. What is it? I'll tell you the danger. The danger that they're in is in these lying wolves of false religion, false prophets, that would do nothing more than devour them. Now that's what that second verse deals with. Verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Now what does that mean? Hasty. I looked that up, make sure I knew what it was. It means to hurry or to rush. Now you've got men, women born in Adam, they're not going to hear. They won't hear by word. They won't be corrected. But in the subtlety of the prince of this world, he's gonna go after them. And you know the tactics of Satan. We've read this before. I want you to turn over to Revelation 12. Now here's the tactics. Now here's the danger. Here's the danger. Revelation 12. Oh, I think to myself, how many times have I heard people say, you know, go to the church of your choice. Go, you know, don't matter where you go. You know, just go somewhere. Oh, the danger of that. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. When the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for time and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, I've said this before. This woman is being spoken of here. This is the bride. This is the church. This is the beloved of the Lord. And when Satan saw, he was cast out. He was cast out of heaven. Cast out a third of the angels with him. He's got one purpose in resistance to God, God Almighty. He's going after his bride. He's going after his bride. You want to get a man off top dead center? Let somebody go after his wife. Now, this done got personal now. He's going after the bride. And here's how he did it. Here's how he's going after her. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Oh, that flood of false religion, lying, works, man-centered works religion. I know something about this. Some of you do too. Oh, it's so enticing. It just makes you feel so good. Makes you so proud of yourself, you know. I've done whatever it is. You're going to feel good about it. Pride. Trusted in themselves that they're righteous. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. He went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this world and all of this false religion, they're everywhere. And you know that. You know that. All this, this and says this, and this and says this, and this and says this, and they're all different. There's only one message that's consistent. And it doesn't matter if you're here, or you're in Lexington, or you're in Danville, or if you're here, you're going to hear the same thing over and over and over and over. Here's the problem. Satan knows that there's a remnant. And he's going after her. He's going after her. And the way he's going to trap her is this. He's going to, you know, just, he's going after her with false religion. Lying, deceiving wolves. Cheap clothing. He's going after her. That's the problem. She's born and she won't be corrected. But Satan's going to do everything he can to get her. Go after her. Tell her all you have to do is just A, B, C, or D, E, F. What have you got to do? And the carnal man, that's what it says, hastily. Seest thou a man, verse 20, that is hasty in his words. He's going to rush this thing. That's what it means. He's going to hurry this thing. Listen, listen. We got to get him down the aisle. I got to get him in the baptismal pool. I got to get them sprinkled. I got to get them this. I got to get them that. We're going to hurry this issue. And he's trying to hastily direct through the tactics of Satan. It's all man-centered. Just make a profession. Turn over a new leaf. Reform your life. Get right with God. Do something according to the works of the flesh. And give him a false hope. Just give him a hope. Give him a job. Get him in the church and give him something to do. Keep him busy. Brethren, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy. He saved us. You see, the problem is that man is unable. And false religion tells him, you are. You are. You're able. God said, you're not going to die. Listen to Jeremiah 13:23. Can an Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. The scripture says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, in his matters, in these matters of correction. There's more hope of a fool than of him. There's more hope for a simpleton, a man that knows nothing, nothing. I'd rather talk to somebody that knows nothing of anything about religion than to talk to somebody or try to argue with somebody that's so steeped in their false religion. There's more hope. That's what Scripture, more hope. Oh, listen, Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, but bless God. The Lord been pleased to not leave his people to perish in their arrogant rebellion or be devoured by the wolves of false religion. Do you know why you or I'm sitting under the gospel, loving it and rejoicing it? You know why we've not been left to ourselves to just get somewhere in some hole in the wall? Just, you know why? The grace of God. That's the only reason we're here. That's the only reason we're here. Oh, bless the Lord. Here's my last point. Here's the hope. Here's the hope of life. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. That word delicately, oh, it's such a precious word. Here's what it means. To pamper. To pamper. Oh, how the God of all grace has been pleased to mercifully, compassionately pamper his people, the people of his everlasting love, choosing. Just in closing, listen to this. According to God's good pleasure, for the foundation of the world, God was pleased to delicately pamper, show mercy, mercy. Don't you enjoy being merciful to somebody you love, especially those you love? What he did was he put his people in the safest place that they could be. He delicately pampered them and put them in his precious son, the son in whom he trusted. God Almighty, Father, was the first one that ever trusted Christ. He trusted him. God had a people. He had a people of his choosing, his love. Father loved him. He loved him. And he was going to have them. So what did he do? He put them in a safe place. Put him in Christ. And according to the covenant of God's grace, covenant mercy, covenant mercy, covenant mercy, Christ, for those that the Father had given him, he pampered them. He, in covenant agreement, would be their surety. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to redeem you from the curse of the law. I'm going to be made a curse for you. I'm going to come into this world and I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you by my power, my grace. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. Boy, isn't that's the sweetest. How delicate. You think how fragile we were and are. And I'm going to do all that is necessary to earn righteousness. I'm going to do for you what you can't do for yourself. I'm going to, as a man, I'm going to be made like unto your sinful flesh. And I'm going to walk before God in this world. and I'm going to please him. I'm going to honor every jot and tittle of the law that you broke. And I'm going to earn as a man righteousness for you. And I'm going to clothe you in it. I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to robe you in my righteousness. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to shed my blood for you and wash you, cleanse you. There'll be no condemnation. And every infraction that you commit every day, I'll wash it away, and I'll wash it away, and I'll wash it away. And I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to send pastors after my heart. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to choose them, call them. I'm going to teach them. And then I'm going to powerfully direct your steps. And I'm going to put you under the sound of my mercy and compassion. And when it pleases me, I'm going to come to you by my spirit. And I'm going to remove your heart of stone. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And I'll write my law of love, on your heart. And you're going to know me. Almighty God was pleased to delicately save his people from their sins. He didn't drive them by the law. He gave them a new heart and made them willing in the day of his power. Gave them faith to believe. And he just pampers them and pampers them and pampers them. Even in chastening grace, chastening mercy, even in the chastisements, even when he's got to take us out behind the woodshed, it's always in love. Always love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And then he promises her, because he knows the frailty of his flesh, that don't be afraid. I'm not going to leave you. Isaiah 43:5, fear not. I'm with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden. I will give you rest. And then that last part of that 21st verse. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. Kind of hard to understand the way it's written, but I can tell you, based on the interpretation of the words, is what he said. He delicately brings up his servants, his willing servants, from a child. He made them new in regenerating grace. He rebirthed us from heaven, created new, and he brings us up and he teaches us. And it says that they have him become. That is, they realize that they exist. That's what that word means. They exist. And see where it says his son. That last one, he delicately bringeth up his servant from a child, shall have him become his son, his heir. He teaches him. You're my heir. You're an heir with my son, joint heir with my son. And he's going to have him that way, the scripture says, at the length. It means expecting the rights of a son afterward, based on his word. God's people are born into this world haters of God. But God's not going to leave them to themselves. He's not going to leave them to the wiles of the devil. He's not going to leave them to the deceitfulness of false religion. He's going to powerfully pull them. I'm going to bring you to myself. And then I'm going to delicately bring you up. And I'm going to teach you. Because I love you. I pray God bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.